Good morning. You're very welcome to Liberty Church this morning. We're starting a new series, actually, all across the locations called That's Life. Everybody say, That's Life. That's where all the people say. Oh, I'm riding high in April. And I know I'm going to change that tune. You don't know the rest? When I'm back on top, come this June. I said that's life. As funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on your dream. And if it doesn't change, come here this July. I'm gonna get on a Ryanair and fly. That's life, you know? That's my sermon done. But, you know, like, if things can happen in your life and things does happen and we go, well, that's life. And sometimes we accept a lot of stuff that we just put down to that's life, where God has promised us things about life. And if we don't know what he's promised us and how to access them, well, then we don't know what God is saying in that's life. See, when he says we can be filled with joy, God was saying, now that's life. Or that you can have perseverance through storms, he would say, that's life. And he has a lot to say about this. And before we get into this word, I would just like us all to stand, because we want to pray this morning. I'm sure everybody knows, and if you haven't by now, that Linda Scott passed away just a couple of days ago. And Linda and Chris, Scotty, Christopher, wherever you know him as. In fact, I got a text from an old friend of mine that was with us way back in Rialto, and he says, you know what, Noel, Linda and Scotty were one of the first fruits of this church. Isn't that amazing? And needless to say, we're shocked and we're grieving along with the family and with friends, and these are people that are close to our hearts. And Linda's going to be with the Lord. We know that. We know that. My goodness, we know that. But there's people left here that God wants to comfort and will comfort. And being a family, being Liberty and being their family, your text messages, your emails, your phone calls have been really appreciated by the Scots, not only just Chris, but also Alex and also Sam. And also this week, for those who many know, that baby Casey passed away as well. And baby Casey's been is related to Paul Martin and Vicky Martin. And Casey's going to be with the Lord, so Casey and Linda gets there at the same time. And there's no cancer in heaven. And all they know is pure joy and pure bliss. And everything that we don't know, they know. They're Mrs. Know-it-all right now. All the mysteries are not mysteries to them. And we want to pray for Casey's mom and dad and her extended family as well, yeah? So, Lord, we just thank you that you are ever-present and you are close to the brokenhearted. And we lift up these families, Lord, and friends and neighbors and people all over the world, oh God, that is connected somehow to Casey and connected somehow to Linda, Lord God. We just speak your blessing over them, your comfort, your peace. That, Lord, you would quiet them with your love. Quiet every question in their minds right now with your love, oh God. Don't let them be worn out, Lord God, with questions, Lord God, that probably won't even get answered, Lord. That you would quiet them. Help them to be still. Help them to rest. Help them to grieve, oh God. We lift them up before you, Lord God. We thank you for their lives, Lord God. And even though Casey, I think she was four, that like she touched so many people around the world is unbelievable. Just look at our face page and you see people from all around the world. And Linda, anyone that Linda has walked into your world, or we walked into her world, she was a lady that touched lives. She's a lady that spoke into our Sunday school, into our children, that spoke into the next generation. And we just thank you, Lord, like the seed that Louise talked about, Lord God, that out of these lives will come apples and apple trees and orchards, oh God, Father God, and more orchards, oh God, for your glory, Father. We bless you and we bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Not a great way to start, that's life, but that is part of living. It's dying. And part of dying is actually living. Yeah? Entering into our fullness. But That's Life is a very, very important series for us, because what we're going to learn is about certain things that God has to say about certain issues. But before we start, I want to say that God's intention for us is to have fullness. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been going, looking at this stuff, and I want to tell you, it's challenging. So you're up for the challenge. You're up to be inspired. I looked at it, it's a bit like going to the gym. You know, like you think you're fit till you go to the gym, you start lifting the weight and you go, my goodness, that lacto acid, is it? Yeah, it's going, you know, it hurts. But when you push through that, you have a little bit of a ripple. Hello? You know, you look in the mirror and you go, hey. You know, it's hard work, but when you push through it, you're exercising something and you're in better shape and you're going to be the better for it. But you know yourself, going through that little pain barrier can be challenging. It's in that pain barrier zone where you go, I don't know whether I'm really into that anymore. I don't know whether I want to go to the gym anymore. I don't know whether I want to get fit. I don't know whether I want to be healthy. I don't know. That's what, because that's hurting me. And equally, spiritually growing and spiritual entering into the fullness that God has for us is challenging. Gosh, whoever was in the Blessed Life series and was in last week's one where it was called The Test, that was challenging. I know I am a tither. I know I am a giver. And when that basket goes by me, it's not because I'm not putting nothing in it, because I decided a long ago that God is at my number one on my list, and my money goes straight into the bank. So I'm not giving that, and I give like everyone else. But even though I'm a tither and someone who offers the things, everything that I have to God or try to, it's like, it was still challenging. And so that's a little bit of a muscle that we're going to have to flex. And some don't like flexing that muscle, because we'd rather be a bit flabby in that area, where God wants to tune us up to have full benefit of what he says. And if we do what he says, we get his results. And his result is this: he wants us to have fullness in every area of our lives. Every area. So whatever does lack, and you do a spiritual or a life inventory or stock take and go, you know what, Lord, I'm lacking joy there. Why? Talk to him. Allow him to give us an answer as to why. Or I'm lacking authority there. Why, Lord? And allow him to speak to us there, because his hard for us is to have fullness. So I want you to listen to some of these scriptures about fullness, because these scriptures will flow into all the other seven things that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. So we want to understand that God, this is not a juggling act. Like we were told in our Christian walk at the beginning to have balance. But the only thing about that balance thing is, and I understand what's being said, but it doesn't talk about balance in the Bible, it talks about fullness. Because balancing is hard, isn't it? And balancing family, job. I should have someone in doing juggling. Do you know? And you're like, you have family, job, relationship, finances, mental things, all the things. And then someone throws in another ball. Yay, this. And then all of a sudden, the Christian walk has become a big walk. I'm just balancing all these things out, where the scriptures tell us about fullness. So listen, here's Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs and wonders amongst the people. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. Not balance God's grace and balance God's power. Or balance mercy and balance grace. Or balance truth and balance mercy. He was full of, Jesus Christ, full of truth and grace. He wasn't half full of grace and half full of truth. He was full. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led into the wilderness. He hadn't got a half of the Holy Spirit. He hadn't got a tinkle of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, filled or full of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, Paul says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Whoa! I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Jesus said this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, speaking of the devil. But I have come that you may have life and have to the full. And here's where we're going to end with today. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That his desire is to give us the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to fill us to the full, to the max. Are you up for a bit of filling? Are you hungry If that's our first step to have what God wants. If you're not hungry, because I believe me, I know what it's like. You think you can be full up with all other stuff. You can be full up with junk food. And you're not having the right food going in. But here's my prayer for the last 3 years. God, gift me with hunger. Gift me with hunger. Give me something that from you that will tear everything else out that causes me to be filled up with self, with looking after the things of this world or whatever. Just get rid of them, Lord. Don't give me the gift because I need it. So over the next couple of weeks, all the locations, different preachers are going to be preaching on these seven areas where God wants fullness. We're going to look at what they are and how we get the fullness of God in these areas. First one's going to be spiritual health, then physical health, mental health, emotional health, relational health, financial health, and vocational health. Why? Because God cares about every area of our lives and wants to bless us to the full in each area of our wants. He wants us to be body healthy, spirit healthy, and mind healthy. And throughout the scriptures, God makes promises about what he has to say about these things. And he has these things that the Bible says, they call them premises and promises. Now, a premise is this, that basically, here's a promise. Now, if you do this, you'll activate that promise. You with me? There's a door. Here's a key. If you put the key in that door, you will open that door. So there's a lot of stuff. Even your salvation has a premise. So the premise is this. If you believe in your heart, confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. So the premise is, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, now here's the promise, you're saved. So there's a premise before the promise. And we're going to access and look at some of these premises and promises. So for instance, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, that's the premise. If we confess our sin, he will forgive us our sins. That's the promise. The premise is, if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, that's the premise, he will direct your paths. Every promise has a premise, and we're going to look at the premises and the promises that is attached to them. Because some people, and I've said this, I'm not just saying this now, I've said this in a different way about keys, that Jesus says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. That we can wait and wait and wait, and wondering why we're not getting certain things in our life as Christians, and why we're not living to the fullness, and Jesus could say to us, look, I've given you keys, I've given you the premise to unlock the promise. So the measure I get is what I open. Because Jesus has left this to us. He's done the work. He's done everything that needs to be done for us to have a fullness of him. He's done all that he can do. So apart from barging in and breaking down your door and taking away your free will, he's not going to do that. But he says, here's the key. Here's the premise. Now you do it, son. And you access what I have made and what I have promised to you. So that puts something on us, doesn't it? That puts, wow, I have a part to play in this because he partners with us. He walks with us in all of this. So we're going to look at first today, spiritual health. How do we have fullness of God when in our spiritual life? And how do we access some of the things that God has for us? So I'm going to talk about seven habits that we must form. Yes, habits. You know, we talk about habits a lot and bad habits and this habit and that habit. I want certain habits that are good. And if I apply these things to my life, I will have fullness. And here's the first habit. Are you ready? I must love Jesus supremely. Wow. That's a big word, isn't it? I must love Jesus supremely. That's a habit. He has to be my number one for me to be at full pelt in my spiritual life. Because when he's not number one, I feel myself lagging back. I feel myself getting lethargic. I feel myself getting tired. And when I place other things in front of him, they get my attention, they get my energy. And here's what Jesus says: if anyone comes to me, now Jesus is using language because he's getting across the enormity of this for our spiritual well-beings. Yeah, so he says this: if anyone comes to me and does not hate mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now that sounds pretty drastic. Jesus says, if you put all these things first and me second, you can't be my disciple. So he says, he's making this statement so bold. You can imagine, what? Hate me mother, hate me father, hate me children. He's not saying to do that, but he's saying this is how contrast this is. You can't put anyone in front of me. Anything in front of me. Because whatever you put in front of me will be the thing that you will end up worshipping. It'll be the thing that will end up dictating to you. He's saying, you can't love anything or anyone more than me. And I'm going to tell you that when Jesus is first, because this is what he says, seek ye the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added on. See, if we seek the king, we get the thing. If we seek the thing, we miss the king. But he says, if you go after me, I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. Your relationship life, your family life, your children life, all them things that I say put in second place is so that they can have the flow of my blessing with he being number one. Amazing, isn't it? And here's how spiritual health is measured. Jesus says, this is what Jesus teaches. Spiritual health is measured by love. Spiritual health is measured by how much we love. Not by how much we know. Not measured. Spiritual health is not measured by Bible knowledge or by our skills or by words that we say. It's not measured by how we attend church, where we attend church, how long we attend church for. That's not the way spiritual health is measured. Spiritual health is measured by how much we love. Jesus said this. Here's the most important thing in all of the world. He says, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is how health, spiritual health is measured. It's how much love him. And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with everything. This is all the commandments is summed up in these things. And this kind of love is called worship. Because whatever is most important in our life is what we worship. If my car is number one, I'm worshiping it. If people are number one in my life, I'm worshiping it. I'm giving them the attention and the desired affection that is only place in God. But I don't know about you, but when I love God first, I can love people better. When I love him and give him my adoration and my affection, I am more patient, more kind, and can keep a good attitude. So the first habit that we want to talk about is to love Jesus supremely. Make him number one in your life and in my life. If you want to be spiritually healthy, then you've got to make the Lord the one that we worship supremely. And that's spiritual habit number one. Spiritual habit number two, to be spiritually healthy, we must meet with God on a regular, on a daily basis. We must, to be spiritually, now I could go to the gym once every 4 years. That's not going to make a whole hill of beans of a difference to my shape of my body or what I want to achieve. Even if I go once a week, it's not going to be great, is it? If I want to have a friendship, if I want to have, imagine me and Sharon just meeting on a Sunday morning to have a marriage. That'd be a pretty poor relationship. And this God who was number one, when we meet with him and we set time apart for to be with him on a daily basis, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it may be, but we're saying, Lord, you're this important to me that I am setting aside time to be with you. To hear you, to sit with you, to listen to you. And you can do a number of things. If I ask 20 people in this room, they probably say, have 4 or 5 things that this is what I do with my time in the Lord. For me, I sing. Can you imagine? I read my word. I don't pray in the sense of a religious type of setting. I talk to God like I'm talking to you. And I wait on him. And if I don't get my answer in my time with him there, I know during the day that I'm after setting the tone. I've given him my first fruit of the day, my first moments that I know throughout the day I'll get something that I need to get for that day from the Lord. Spending time with the Lord is vital to your spiritual life as much as air is vital to your biological life. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. God says, blessed is the man who waits at my door. Daily, it says. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Waits at my doorway, watching at my doorway. He says on a daily basis that you can get something from God on a daily basis. Now, here's something I want us to think about. Why would God tell us to spend time with him every day? God says to spend time with him every day. Why? Because he wants to spend time with us every day. Isn't that incredible? That this incredible, immeasurable, incomprehensible God wants to spend time with Noah. Wants to have an appointment with you. Wants to go, my goodness, can you imagine all of the things that God would be doing and thinking about? He says, look, because I want you to spend time with me, that really means I want to spend time with you. And I think that's the highest privilege that we could ever have. And if you do nothing else as a Christian, do that. If you don't go on a missions trip, I don't care. Spend time with God. If you don't give another penny into the kingdom of God, I don't care. Spend time with God. If you never see another miracle, I don't care. Spend time with God. Spending that time with Him, you get His heart. You get His heart, you get His favor. Because He wants you to carry out what He's put in your heart from His heart. And we need to just look at, well, how am I going to do this in my life? Because we're all going to say we're busy, or we're all, because they're the things that try to rob us from Him being number one. I'm not saying we go in and we crawl in on our knees and we light candles somewhere and we have to have this setting where angels will come to the room. We're not talking about that. Because I can talk to Sharon walking down the street. I can talk to her in my car. I can talk to her in the house. I can talk to her in the wherever. Or see, whenever you just set that time apart from God, He never disappoints us. He never misses an appointment. He never goes, I'm too busy, I'm with Noah. That this is how immeasurable God is. He's able to be with us all at the same time. He's the everywhere God. He's, Craig is getting better. He's even mind reading now. Sorry, just give me a hard time. Why not? He's the everywhere God. There's something like 350 million Chinese now in church somewhere. And God is there. And there's something like on their way to being 500 million Indians that are believers. And they're worshiping the Lord there. And God is there. And God is here. And He wants to spend time with us. Have number three. If I want to be spiritually healthy, I must study the Word of God. Hello. This is the manual. This is like going to the gym. If we don't get into the Word of God, it's like going to the gym and then read some old junk magazine or something. But reading the Word of God, again, 10 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever you may want to do. There's so many promises in the Bible. It's in the Bible where God says, if you get into this book, get it into your mind, your heart, that God will bless everything that we'll do. He'll bless business, He'll bless family, He'll bless health, bless finances. If you get into His book, and you will get His book into every area of your life. I find now in my life, that's not I'm reading the Bible's reading me. Whoa, that's a bad attitude, Noel. And it reads me. So I either don't read it, or I now got to change me. The Bible says this, listen to this. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and whose leaves does not wither, but whatever they do prosper. So here's the premise again. The premise is, if we meditate on God's work, God's way, God's word, God's way of doing life, think about it, value it, put it into practice, even the parts that don't come naturally, He promises to make our lives fruitful in every way if we value the Word of God. This is not a Mills and Booms type of book. This is not something like some author like of this world wrote. This is the book that God wrote. Yeah, He used men. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts a book together with 40 different books. Is that right? 66 different books. It's great to have Craig here. Thanks, Craig. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Over a period of thousands of years, and it comes together as one book telling God's love story to you and me. It's tried to be born, it's tried to be buried, it's tried to be ridiculed, people have rubbish to bring, and they're gone, the book still remains. It's outlived them, outdone them, outstayed them, out You imagine all the ingenuity of man. Things that they're finding out now, God has written in his book 1600 years ago. Incredible. And here's the privilege we get to be spiritually healthy. Know it. Apply it. See, we can know it and not apply it. I mean, I might have a bar of soap in my bathroom, and I might go in with dirty hands and go, look, I know the soap, I know it's there, I know where it was made, I know all the people that employed. Oh, look at all the input that I had in it. It has different ingredients in it. I can know everything, the flavor, the scent, it can be great, but unless I take that up and apply it to my dirty hands, I'm never going to know the power of the soap, the cleansing. And we can know the Bible, but it's about not just knowing the words, it's about applying the words. And wherever there's an application of the word of God, there's grace to go with that, meaning there's power to go with that. So if the Bible says forgive, and we endeavor to forgive someone that has wronged us, now you've released the power that you're doing this forgiveness under his strength. Because it's not just a word, do this, and we have to try then do it in our own strength. We take step and he applies the power. Habit 4. Move through this one. Oh, habit 4. To be spiritually healthy, God is putting his word about tithing and offering. It's one of those things. He says, you tithe, you bring the tithe into the storehouse, which is the church where you get fed. Not somebody that's up in some on your television. Into the storehouse. Where you get spiritual benefits from, he says, here's the premise. You do that, and he says, and I'll open the windows of heaven. It's a premise, a promise. And I can cry out to God for all the fullness of whatever I want, and he would say to me, Noel, are you opening the window? Because I've given you the key to the window, son. I was like, no, my Lord, but I can't afford it. You can't afford not to if you want the windows open. And here's where he says, test me on this. We had a great time in our link group because all these things come up for us all about tithing. I remember when I became a Christian first and I was earning £121. And I read the Bible and I asked one of the elders of the church, I said, I can't even afford to pay my bills with 100%. But God has asked me to pay my bills now with 90%. Now he could have given me a big spiel about all this and that, and he brought me back to the Word of God. And he says, if you're asking me to obey the Word of God now, I would say obey the Word of God. And I need black and white. I don't need fuzzies around the corner. I need, that's where it says, you decide. And I'm 27 years giving 10% of everything that I've ever had and beyond. My prayer this year, my turnaround prayer this year was this. Lord, how can I give more money into the kingdom of God? Now, I was expecting an angel to come with €1 million. But it turns out my wife gets a new job. I will be getting a new job. So how can we give? How can we give more into the kingdom? I was waiting for this miraculous money and God says, look, I'm going to provide for Sharon. Because you know why? I know I've tested God. And all I have found him abundantly faithful. And that could be 2 hours of telling you them things. So here's what was said to you tonight in our link group, and I loved it. You ask any person, there's two people, there's tithers and non-tithers. And every tither will tell you, I'm blessed. Every tither will tell you, I'm blessed. And that's the catch. And non-tithers will say all types of million other things. Most non-tithers say, I can't afford it. And all the tithers say, I can't afford nothing. Because it's flexed and spiritual muscle. I tell you what it does. It's saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. And now I love this, what Robert Morris brought out. He says, do you ever give? Do you ever hear God saying, give that person that? Well, the times I've heard God say that to me, it's never because I've had €1,000 in my pocket. It's probably when I have €20 only in my name. And there's times when God has said to me, give that away. Now I'm in a battle. But what God's really saying, well, trust me. But I'm in a battle. Because that's my €20. Now, what Robin Morris brought it, which was brilliant. If I realise it's not my €20, it's God's euros, well then I'm not grieving about it. Like I could easily take Stephen's wallet and give his all money over. I won't be grieving, you know why? Not my money. In fact, I would do it quite joyfully. What do you need? And Robert Morris brought that out immediately. He says, when I'm grave to give and when God tells me to give, I've made it my money again. But when it's his money and I know it's his money, of course you'll be, Lord, I'm just giving away yours. And I'm telling you, there's a spiritual health that will come into you in my mind. And when I tell you, I'm not saying this, and we're not teaching this to get any money out of anybody. That's the thing. Don't give if you don't want to give. Don't obey God's word if you don't want to obey God's word. Don't open the windows of heaven on your life if you don't want the windows of heaven open on your life. It's totally our choice. But if we want to be spiritually healthy, we have to do all the exercise. Do you ever go to the gym and they tell you, do 20 reps of this and 20 reps of that, and you know, and you're like, and them things that you sit down, you know, the lunges. Hello. Like, I leave out all the rest. Do all the rest and not leave putting the lunges, but I won't get the benefit of what they're supposed to do for my life. So I can do other things and not flex a muscle in another area. There's loads of that in the spirit, in the blessed life. If I want to be habit 5, I must love other people. I must love other believers. That's a hard one. Sometimes it's easier to love people outside than there is inside. Because we get on each other's nerves. We let each other down. If you're new to this church, I want to tell you, we will let you down. We'll fail your expectations some way or some shape. We'll do that, and we have to just get used to that. And we have to apply the grace that God gives us for one another. Like, if my finger is hurt and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, I don't chop it off and say, "Oh, you're not welcomed anymore in my hand." That's all right. Now, try ring the bell then the next time you're out that finger. Oh, it's no problem. No, chop off the thumb if it let you down. Didn't work the PlayStation buttons right. Chop it off. Now try your thumb a lift. But we do that. People cut off the body, and the body cuts off people. And if we want to be spiritually healthy, we need to have love for everyone. Even those that hurt us. Because there's a supernatural grace that comes with when we step into the premise, we receive the promise. So I just can't love Stephen. I've tried my best. I've tried hard and hard, but he just keeps kicking me every Wednesday playing football. Then I go home. I said, "Lord, give me a love for him. He's cute." Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to do this in our own strength. Like, love someone that is unlovable. We're all unlovable before we became Christians. He loves the unlovable. Well, if we want to be spiritually healthy, we have to know this. Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are a follower of mine, if you love one another." Jesus says, this is how you know. Listen to what he said. Listen to what Apostle John says, which was, he was on the love buzz. The Gospel of John is called the love gospel. But when you get into the letters of John, I'm telling you, he starts hitting you with this love stuff that you go, "Whoa, John, can we not get to the fuzzy stuff and stay there?" He says, "No, this is, now he starts hitting you. Listen, 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John, his letter. Chapter 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Oh, John, now we're getting into it, aren't we? Like, John is not like holding back. For whoever does not love their brother and sister who they have seen cannot really love God who they have not seen. And I don't know about you, but that's just like, Lord, help me. Help me show forgiveness. Help me to not have hatred against a brother. I'm not saying they didn't do anything wrong on me, Lord. I'm not saying I'm going to lie down and be a doormat for people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, will you help me to love them? Will you help, you put your love in my heart? Because I don't want to say I love you, but I hate your woman beside me. God's like, that's being like a liar. We can say, God, can you give me your love so that truth can be ruling and reigning in every area of my life? See, here's the reality. Christian growth happens in community. Spiritual growth doesn't happen on your own. I was saying to someone recently, they're looking at getting married, and you know when you get together, you press each other's buttons, like the bad ones. It's like so Sharon would press, I'm just saying Sharon, she doesn't do any of this, we're perfect, but she would press a button, right? And but it's a pain button. God has given me an opportunity to be healed, but I can stay single and that button would never be pressed, but I would still never be healed. or I come into community and someone presses my button, I go, can't believe they said that. Hate them. Love you, God, but hate them. I tried to worship God, then looking over at them. That hand with me Bible and that one with the blades. I let someone down recently. Now I let them down. But I gave someone something as a gift that had really hurt this person who was close to me. When they heard I gave them this gift, they were like, you really hurted me. Which is why, but do you not know what they done to me? Now here you are blessing them. Oh, so I'm supposed to hate them like this person, like you are supposed to be in your pain and let your pain be my atmosphere. So, I mean, I love this person. And I said, I tell you what, I cannot not be a blesser. But here's what you're going to get out of me blessing that person you're hearing about. You have an opportunity to get healed from that pain. Because I just pressed the button of the pain, and all it was the pain came up. I didn't do anything wrong. And that's what we get in community. We either run away, which there's too many doing, by the way. Look around who used to sit in one of those seats. Run off. I'm cutting the thumb off. I'm cutting the body off. I'll just stay a thumb on my own, yet you're going to die. Your blood is going to run out. You're going to die. And I want to tell you, you can go and text, go through your phone and see who you haven't seen in months and text them and see how they're growing spiritually. We're not meant to be on our own. We grow in community. We're challenged in community. We love in community. That we overcome in community. We're all here. We all do it to one another, but this is where God has made us, to be in community. Yeah? Habit number 6. I'm spiritually healthy when I learn to serve other people unselfishly. You see the way God makes provision for us to be healed and strong? It's like, oh, you're a selfish person. I have a great solution for selfishness, Noah. Serve others. Put them first before your own needs, and you will see how healthy you become. Instead of me, my, no one else, bless my four, no more. It's like, I want. It's like God has given a solution for that. Give. Give your life away. That's what he says. I have solutions for all of these things. This world is telling us, like, do what you want. Get what you want. Someone says, what did you get out now at church this week? My question is, did you give out in church this week? Did you give a smile? Did you give a hug? Did you give an encouraging word? Did you give an amen? You dirty turkeys. You never give an amen. Like, it's like, but we all like, I want. And so it filters into church. And we all want to get something. But what if we all came in, we want to give something? I want to give my worship. I want to give my praise unto God. I want to serve. I want to give of my ability to make a cup of tea or to teach Sunday school or to clean up this building or to whatever. I want to give. I want to be, because the mark of a Christian life is not about getting, it's about giving. For God so loved the world, He gave. It's like, that's how marriages are healthy. If we're giving people into marriage, if I'm a giver in my marriage and Sharon's a giver in my marriage, our marriage is healthy. But when I'm a taker, I just become unhealthy. In any relation, I'll hang out with you as long as I can get something. It's become unhealthy. It's become toxic. But if I learn to take his nature on as a giver and serve other, listen to what Jesus says. The Son of Man is not going to be served, but to serve. God has given us the solutions within the body of Christ. That, like, you want to serve unconditionally, get on board with Sunday school, creche, come in during the week. If you need Anna, I want to clean up the building. I want to be on the road to any admin things. I want to give 2 hours. There's loads of ways. I want to give to the lighthouse. I want to give to the cafes in Drimna. I want to give of my life. God has given us the solution for selfishness, and he calls it servanthood. So if you want to be spiritually healthy, you have to get the servant. We know this principle. People that don't even call themselves Christians know this principle. I want to give back. Anyone ever hear that? We We know it. Businesses that are non-Christian, that are money emperors, know this principle. They make so much money, they say, do you want to give back? And they give it to charities. So if we're just sitting around and not serving in any capacity, we're going to become out of shape Christians. We're not going to know what it is to see the presence of God in certain situations and circumstances, because I'm just don't want to get into the mess that it can be. And the sacrifice that it takes. But then you don't understand or have that muscle to flex. And when everyone else is telling their stories, you won't have a story to tell. If you want to be spiritually healthy, have a number seven. I must pass on the good news. I must pass on the good news. I want to tell you about passing on the good news. Telling people where to find forgiveness. Telling people who's the only way. Telling people that you want your identity changed. Did they used to call you this? Did you used to call yourself this? Well, I want to tell you the good news. God will call you son or daughter. I want to tell you where to find eternal life. We must pass it on. And when you start doing that, do you know, and I know this scares us, because two people don't like evangelism, as this would be termed. Non-Christians don't like it, and Christians don't like it. Because it scares us. But telling your story shouldn't be a scary thing. Telling your story, looking for the right opportunity, not running into places, you're all going to hell. Not some silly, stupid Christian stuff. But out of living out of your relationship, being spiritually healthy, spending time with God, applying God's word to your life, living the Christian life. I want to tell you, people are attracted to that. When they see joy in your life, even though they know your circumstances or your situations, people are attracted to that. How come you're still going? How come you seem to still have a good attitude? Do I know what's going on in your world? I want to tell you some good news. That even though I'm in the midst of the storm, I have somebody who's in the storm with me. What? How explain that? Well, I'm going through this. I know the peace of Jesus. I know his Bible says that he'll never leave me or forsake me. I have a community of people that I do life with. I have a small group that I get even more intimate about life. My small group, they know my prayer needs. They know what my struggles. They know my victories in my small group. We stand with one another. And not only that, but I'm in a community that serves people. Listen, look up on Google the things that postmodern people want in the world. You, if you can even think of that. 21st century living, what does people want? They want community. They want the purpose. They want spirituality. It's all these things. And you think of your colleague, friends, and they're probably getting this in other shapes, in other forms. Someone needs someone to tell them the good news. Because if they don't tell them the truth, they're going to be believing a lie. If we don't tell them the truth, they're going to end up believing a lie. And we have to get that. And so we're like, oh no, that's a bit much to ask for. You're going to trust Jesus to share your story. You're going to ask Jesus, Lord, will you open the door? Because see those seats that are empty? They need to be filled. And who's going to do it? No. Have I not always said that we're the church? Have I not always said that we are going to do this together? So together, we're asking God, will you fill me up in every area of my life? And will you open the door for me to share you with someone else? Will you open the door, Lord, so that I'm not just pushing the Bible down someone's throat? Because you're going to heaven. If you're a believer, you're going to heaven. You know why? Someone told you. And you know why they told you? Because someone told them. And if we tell somebody to tell someone to tell someone to tell somebody, it just continues. And continues and continues. And I don't know about you, but I'm not saying we run out into the street. We can do that if we want in a proper way. But the people around your world, and I'm praying that God will give you the heart to see them. I want them in heaven now. And we all know how you get to heaven is by believing in Jesus. And he will open the door. And he will strike up the conversation. And people will come up to him and ask you, why this and why you that? People will even say certain other things around. And it mightn't feel pleasant at the time, but you have to trust that the seed that you're sowing is good.
the seed you're sowing is good. Even if they don't see it as good yet, no, I don't believe in that Christianity, you, nah.
Yeah, but you don't know the seed I just planted there. That's going to bear good fruit in your life. And believe me, you might know it right now, or might taste good right now, but I'm telling you, the person that I'm most in debt to in this world is a man called Michael Finley that told me about Jesus. I feel I've indebted to him for eternity because he took a chance to tell me. He took a chance and says, well, I'm going to trust that if I tell him the good news, Jesus will breathe on it, and I was going to be a new person. He's going to have a new identity. He's going to have a new life. He's going to have a new future. He's going to be going to heaven. And I guarantee you just think of the person that told you the good news. Just close your eyes right now. You just think of that person and what they mean to you because they took the risk of coming to you. And just as your eyes are closed, our first part of this series is spiritual health. And I want us in our hearts, if we just want to tip aside and go, I'm just going to tick this as I read it out. Yes, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord, help me. I'm committing to this, I'm going to choose to love Jesus supremely. I'm committing to this, I'm going to choose to spend time with him daily. I'm committing to this, that I'm going to read the word and do what it says every day. I'm going to tithe faithfully. I'm going to love other believers and be committed to my church and small group. I'm going to serve others. Whatever gifts and abilities I've been given, I'm not going to live for me. I'm going to live for others. Help me, Jesus. I'm going to pass on to others whatever I've learned about Jesus. I'm going to share the good news. Help me, Jesus. So, Father, here's what we want to do. If the worship team come back, with 5 minutes, if we could all stand. And it says in Acts chapter 2 that they were all in one place, and a sound that came from heaven, this wind. It was a sound, and on that sound was the Holy Spirit, and he filled every believer. So just hold your loved one's hand if you want. I'm going to ask you, Father, to fill us up afresh so that we could live all of these things, even these 7 habits, Lord, even these 7 life topics that we're going to look at over the next 7 weeks, that this could all flow out being filled with the Holy Spirit. That, Lord God, it's not this big human effort, Lord God, but, Lord, as we step out, you step in. As we step out, you step up, Lord. As we walk it out, you will work it out. We're dependent on you to live this life, Lord. We're dependent on you to serve sacrificially, to serve others, Lord. Lord, we're dependent on you to give us hunger, Lord, for your word and for your presence. We're dependent on you, Lord God, to be givers, God. We're dependent on you, Lord, to just change us from the inside out, Lord. We want to be spiritually whole, Lord. We want to be living out of the fullness that Jesus has for us and promised us. So, Lord, I pray that every premise that we heard today, Lord, that as we activate them, Lord, that we will live out of the promise. And when the people of our surroundings see us living out of promise, they will want what we have, Lord. And we just tell them the premise. And when they activate the promise through the premise, they will live out of the fullness. But Lord, we need you first. We need you first. Could I be bold enough just to sing this song over you? It's been in my heart all week. Guys, if you can not play. It's in my heart all week, and this morning I felt it's an old song. And it's just this little words. There's a premise and a promise.
Just like you promised you'd come. Just like you told us, you're here. And my desire is that you know I love you. I worship you. I welcome you here. Just like you promised you'd come. just like you told us, you're here. And my desire is that you know I love you, I worship you, I welcome you.
So Lord, we just receive from you. Lord, we just receive from you, Lord. Just as we sing this song, Lord, as we leave this building, Lord, as we stand in your presence, Lord, our desire is that you would come. We make you welcome, Lord, in us collectively, in us as individuals. And it's our heart's desire, Lord, is that you'd know that we love you and we welcome you here. And all of the things that you have for us, that out of this week, Lord, that we would flow out fullness. We'd flow out fullness this week, oh God. We bless you, Lord God. We receive from you, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Spirit afresh, Lord God. Lord, let us be baptized in power, Lord God. Speaking in tongues, Lord. Moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Flowing out of your presence, oh God. Changing us, oh God. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Sins to your name, praises to your name.